Good morning. Good morning to one and all. We are happy to have you with us this morning as we get ready to enter into our Sunday morning worship service here at Central Church of Christ. Always good to get together on the first day of the week, just as the early Christians did, to come together and blend our voices in praise to Almighty God. If you happen to be visiting with us today, either here in the auditorium or watching services from home, we're happy to have you with us. We're always glad to have visitors. Hope you'll join us again for our worship services and also for our Bible studies. If you missed our Bible studies, they're for all ages. We had some excellent ones this morning. We have Bible studies on Wednesday nights. If you haven't been in the habit of joining us for those, we hope you'll do that. They're very beneficial. We have some great teachers here. They bring well-prepared lessons to us, and hope you'll take advantage of those. Now let's put every worldly thought away from us, and let's concentrate on giving our best in praise to Almighty God.
If it's convenient for you, let's stand, please, as we sing. Lord. Be seated, please. After we sing The Great Physician, then we will go to our Father in prayer.
Jesus, Lord. Let us all bow as we pray together. Holy and wonderful Father in heaven, we do now approach you as your children, and Father, we do confess that we are inferior and imperfect. We are thankful that you allow us to approach you in prayer, the Almighty, the true and the living God, our Creator. And Father, we do give you honor and praise, for you are perfect in all your ways. So Father, we come to you with thanksgiving. We come to you also, Father, with prayers and requests, recognizing, Father, that your will is perfect, and we pray your will be done always. Father, we do want to offer up to you the name of several who are facing surgeries or difficult circumstances. We want to pray, Father, for Johnny Trent and his coming surgery tomorrow. We do ask your blessings on those that will be doing the surgery and treating him. And we pray, Father, that all would go well. Please give him strength, both physically and mentally. We ask your blessings on his family as they have concern for him. Father, we are mindful of others, such as Stephanie Vance and her upcoming surgery. We pray, Father, for those who are dealing with circumstances medically, such as Bob Patton. And we pray, Father, that you'd be with Charlie Hartman and help him in his recovery. And likewise, Kim Seaton. Father, we want to pray for Ken Gilliam, that you might bless him and help him to regain a better degree of health. And Father, we would pray for the infant Mia. Pray, Father, that she might grow stronger and things might be much better for her in the days ahead. We also, Father, pray for all of those who are struggling with difficulties, whether it might be financial or problems of stress and worry and concern. We pray, Father, your blessings on all of those who are in need of uplifting. And we would pray, Father, that we might find opportunity and occasion to be of assistance, and that we might offer a word of comfort or cheer when we have opportunity. We're thankful, Father, for our degree of health and our many, many blessings that you give us. Thankful, Father, for our hope that we have as Christians, as members of the body of Christ. We do thank you, Father, for your love and for making it possible that we can look beyond this life of problems and heartaches to an eternal life with you and our Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we want to ask your blessings on our ministers who labor here. Thankful, Father, for their willingness to serve and their interest in assisting us. Help us, Father, to have a similar interest in assisting those who are not aware of the good news of Jesus Christ. We would ask you, Father, to give us opportunities to share the hope that we have. And help us, Father, to take and seize every opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I also want to ask you, Father, to bless and be with our elders and their families. Help them, Father, as they guide us as a flock. And we pray, Father, that we might support them and that we might all, as a congregation, grow closer to you and do as you would have us to do. Again, Father, we want to confess that we are weak and we fail you so often. We are thankful, Father, for your grace and long-suffering with us. And help us, Father, as we deal with the inconveniences and the problems that face us now, that we might always be able to say that your grace is sufficient for us. And help us, Father, to be content and be willing to stay focused on our hope. May our faith always be strong and be with us till the end of our lives. Father, we pray your will be done in our lives and help us, Father, to seek your guidance in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
After we sing Heavenly Sunlight, then we will have a scripture reading and Tim will bring us the lesson.
Walking in sunlight, all my journey, over the mountains, through the deep veil, Jesus has said, I'll never forsake thee, promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine.
Scripture reading this morning comes from Matthew 25, 5 through 10. Matthew 25, 5 through 10. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut.
We've been blessed with another beautiful day. A little bit windy perhaps, but still beautiful, sunny. And it's just a reminder that God is there. God is blessing us daily. And even though there are many things that we think about that are problems, and there are, yet God always provides the blessings if we look for them. And so let us always be on the lookout for the blessings of God. They're not hard to find. And we can always say when somebody asks, "How are you?" We can say, "I'm blessed," because we really are. We really are blessed. And it's one reason why we worship God as we do on the first day of the week. But we also worship Him every day of the week, every opportunity that we can. We want to let God know how much we adore Him, how much we thank Him, and how much we need Him. We're so glad you are with us today. Some in the building here, our numbers are not as high as they have been. But again, we understand that, and we think everybody needs to do what they feel safe in doing. These are very difficult times. I don't have to tell you that. And some need to be very careful with their health and staying home and worshiping with us by means of the broadcast is often the best choice. Better days will come, and then we'll be free to come back to the building. And we hope to see most of you at that time. Some, of course, will still not be able to come. But in the meantime, we're thankful for technology. We're thankful for the opportunities to do what we've been able to do. And I again want to say thank you to these four guys that have been putting us out there on the air. Mike Higginbotham, Clayton Stewart, Tim Haywood, and Greg Ryan. They have done a super job in getting us out there on the airwaves, and we're just so thankful for this ability to come to you, those of you who are watching at home right now. But again, be careful. Again, this is a very difficult time and a greater need than ever before to be careful in how we get out and be around other people. And we just want everybody to be safe spiritually as well as healthy. But glad you're with us. Lord willing, we'll meet again at 4 o'clock this afternoon outside for our worship service. I just checked my app again, and it looks like only a 6% chance of rain at 4 o'clock. Now, there may be some rain before that, but don't get scared off, because my app has been proven to be pretty reliable. It's not my app, I just use it. But we'd like to see you here if you feel that you can stay in your vehicle if you'd like, but we will be meeting outside at 4 o'clock. Now, in the event of bad weather from here on out, the elders have decided that if we can't do the 4 o'clock outdoor service, then we will meet online at 6 o'clock. Until this spike has gotten back under control, they feel it is best that we not have an indoor service at 6. And I agree with that. I think that is wise. So just stay tuned. Keep checking your email, and we'll let you know the latest. But we are going to worship God regardless whether we are in person or online. But now get your Bible out. I hope you've got a Bible open in your lap or one on your app, fired up and ready to go. And let's get into the Word of God and find out what the Lord has taught us that will be helpful for any situation in life. In getting ready for this lesson, I found an article on brides.com. I don't often go to that site, but I found an article there that was entitled Six Crazy Stories of Brides Who Were Late to Their Own Wedding. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you were late to your own wedding. I don't want to embarrass you like that. But I can imagine that would be, for any bride, maybe one of the worst nightmares, being late to their own wedding. Now, on the positive side, even if you are late, I don't think they're going to start without you. But still, there's all those people that are gathered there, and the expectation is we're going to go at this particular moment in time, and where's the bride? So that would be a nightmare of sorts. Now, I think all of us have had the experience of being late for something important maybe. Maybe it was a meeting that we had. Maybe it was a medical appointment and we overslept, or maybe the traffic was especially bad, or we went to the wrong address, something like that. There's things like that that happen often. And I've even thought, you know, well, if I'm late for worship, they're not going to start without me. But a couple of times you've shown me I'm wrong in that. You actually do start without me, and you should. But it's a feeling we've all had, and this idea is what Jesus is using in Matthew chapter 25. So turn to Matthew 25. We're going to talk about the parable that is found there. It has been called the parable of the foolish virgins or the parable of the maidens, a number of different titles. But there's a thought there that we need to be reminded of often, and that is the idea of being ready, of being prepared. So let's look at it. Matthew chapter 25, and let's talk first about this parable, the parable of the wise and the foolish maidens. Now, it's really a very straightforward parable. The situation is there's going to be a wedding. And there are these 10 young ladies. They are the focus of the parable. Five of them are described as wise. Five of them are described as foolish. And they're waiting for this moment to come. And the moment they're waiting for is the arrival of the bridegroom. Now, you might say these are similar to the bridesmaids of today, because their purpose was similar. They were to help the bride. They were to assist in whatever ways were needed. They were to escort the bride to the bridegroom's house, which is normally where this celebration would take place. And so here they are. They're waiting, and that's the scene that we're looking at. 10 of them gathered together. Now, as we get into this, let me mention a couple of things that probably should not be overthought. You know, sometimes commentators will really dig into things that really are not of any consequence. And for example, the number of maidens, I don't think is really important. Jesus doesn't use that as an important idea. And we say, well, there were 10 of them. What does that mean? Well, it means there were 10. Let's not go any further than that. And the fact that 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish, it should not be taken to mean, well, half of all people that decide they're going to go to heaven aren't going to get there. I don't think that's the idea Jesus is getting at. He's simply saying some used good sense and some did not. And then the fact that all of them were sleeping. Again, I don't think we should read too much into that, because after all, the wise ones were sleeping just like the foolish ones were. And the reason for that was it was late in the evening, and they got drowsy and they fell asleep. So again, let's not make too much of that idea. Let's only look at what Jesus talks about, and that's what we're going to do right now. So Matthew 25, let's begin by reading verses 1 through 5, and then we'll make a couple of notes about that. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like, and that's where we really ought to really focus, and that is Jesus is comparing the kingdom of heaven to something. The kingdom of heaven is for us, the church. It is the domain of God, the domain of Christ. It will one day open up into the kingdom of heaven. But he's talking about something about that. And let's read on. The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. Now let's stop right there and talk about what we have seen thus far. The idea is they're all gathered, 10 of them. That's how many have been chosen by the bride. And they are there to do their duty, to enjoy the festivities, and they're waiting. And they all bring with them lamps. Now, these lamps may be better thought of as torches or maybe oil lamps. But let me read to you something that is said. The commentators that I consulted said that these probably were more like torches that utilized rags, and the oil would turn the rags into wicks of sorts. And so over time, as those torches would burn, then it would use up the oil that is in the lamp, and you would run out. And that's why five of them said, you know, we better take extra. We better take a flask of oil with us so that we will not run out. But five of them didn't even think of that. They were not prepared for that eventuality. And so here they are. They are all gathered together. The bridegroom is running late for some reason. In this case, it is the bridegroom and not the bride. And so they all get drowsy and they all fall asleep. Now let's pick up in verses 6 through verse 10. But at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. That is, they trimmed away the part that was burned, thus making the light brighter in their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. Now, they were not being selfish. They were simply observing that if we give you some of ours, then all of our lamps are going to go out, and that wouldn't help anybody. So you need to go do what you should have already done, and that is go buy the oil from the dealers. Verse 10, while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, and there's the key idea in the whole parable, those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. So here we have the occasion. Now, nighttime weddings were not unusual because that was a land where temperatures really rose up high during the day. And air conditioning was not yet invented. And so you would have things like this usually in the evening after the sun goes down. So the timing is not really all that unusual. It's just that five of these women were not ready. They had not brought enough oil. And so now comes the sad part, verses 11 and 12. Matthew 25, verses 11 and 12. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. And that's where we're left. And the implication is they didn't get in. That's clearly what Jesus meant to communicate. The door was shut. They were on the outside. They were saying, open to us. He says, I don't know you. Now, that seems a little brusque, doesn't it? Craig Keener, in his New Testament background commentary, makes this comment about the response of the bridegroom. I do not know you could be used in deliberate refusals to recognize someone indeed known. In other words, they're not saying, I don't know who you are. Well, of course you know us. You invited us. But he says, as they had, through lack of seriousness about their responsibility, insulted the wedding families, so now they receive a deliberate insult. And again, it all goes back to the idea they weren't ready. I mean, they knew what might happen. The five of them had brought plenty of oil to spare. These five just had not really thought carefully about what they might need if the bridegroom happened to be delayed. And so here you've got five of these young women who are excited about the wedding, as they naturally would be, and yet now they're on the outside with no hope of getting in. Now, what's Jesus trying to say? Well, let's let him tell us what he's trying to say in verse 13. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Just like these 10 bridesmaids did not know exactly what time the wedding would begin, some of them were ready. Some of them planned ahead, and yet some of them did not. And we don't want to be in the position of those five foolish maidens. We want instead to be like the ones who were let in, because they were ready. Now let's think about this parable and let's ask the question, what does that mean for us today? I mean, weddings today are very different in some ways. We don't have to come with our own flashlights and torches. You know, a lot of things are different, but there's something there that is timeless that all of us need to understand, and let's talk about what those are. What do we learn? What must we learn from this parable? Well, here's three lessons that I've found, and I'm sure you could find others, but let me prime the pump by giving you these three. For example, number one, do we know the value of the kingdom of Christ? Do we know the value of the kingdom of Christ? Now, Christ began the parable by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, and that's how it all started. Well, do we understand the value of the kingdom of Christ? In other parables, Jesus was a little more pointed on this idea. For example, if you want to turn with me now to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, look at verses 45 and 46. And here again, he's talking about the kingdom of heaven is like. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who, on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had. He sold all that he had and bought this one pearl. Now, apparently, whoever has the pearl doesn't really understand how valuable it is. But this fella knows. He is a merchant of fine pearls. And he says, I've never seen one like this. This is better than any of the other pearls I've ever had. And so he sells everything in order to get this pearl. And that's the idea that I found in a story that appeared first in September 9th, 2013, where a Van Gogh painting was sold at auction for a crazy amount of money. Now, that's not in itself unusual. Van Gogh was a very famous painter, and yet this very painting had been inspected closely on two other occasions by experts. And both of the experts said, this is obviously a forgery. And whoever had the painting said, well, I'm just going to put it up in my attic out of the way because it's worthless. I don't want a worthless painting hanging on my wall. And therefore, it was just forgotten about until somebody found it and realized, you've got something valuable. Well, that's what Christ is saying to us about the kingdom of heaven. Christ is saying, do you realize how valuable this is? And most of us have to say, Lord, I guess I don't. Because I don't always put the value on your church and your reign in my life that I should put there. Instead, I grumble about, you know, is it really time to go? Do I have to go? Do I have to put in that effort to get cleaned up and get up and go to the building or turn on the TV and be there in worship? You know, sometimes we devalue what is really more valuable than anything. Because if it is like that pearl of great price, I should sell anything in my life in order to have this. And that's what these five foolish virgins failed to do. They did not know the value of being at that wedding. Secondly, here's another lesson that I find in that parable of the ten maidens. And that is, we've been invited to a wedding. We have been invited to a wedding. Now, again, I'm not talking literally. We've all been at weddings, I expect. Most of us have been. Some may not be interested. But I'm talking about an event that is unlike anything you've ever seen here on earth. Read about it in Revelation 19. Revelation 19 and verse 9, and here is what I'm talking about. Revelation 19, verse 9, the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Now, at first reading, you might say, a lamb is getting married? Well, he's talking about the Lamb of God, Jesus. And you say, well, wait, Jesus was never married while he was on earth. That's right. But he will be. And who is the lucky woman? We all are if we are part of his church. That's the vision that we're seeing right there. And so John again was told by this angel, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And some recognize the blessedness of being invited to that. And others say, oh, well, if I don't have anything else going on, if there's no sale going on, I hope it doesn't happen on Black Friday. I've got other things I'll have to do then. But he says, blessed. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Go to chapter 21, the same book, Revelation 21 and verse 2. And listen to this. This is a further description of that wedding. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And elsewhere in that section, you'll read about how we are that bride, and our wedding garments are the righteous deeds of the saints, and we are prepared. That's what he said right there, isn't it? As a bride who is prepared, that means I know how special this opportunity is. I'm not going to miss it. I cannot possibly miss it. Now, I know many years ago, on July 29, 1981, that's long before a lot of you were born, there was a wedding over in England that captured the world's attention. And it was Prince Charles and Lady Diana. And boy, there was just such a focus on all that was going on. But you know, I didn't get an invitation to that. That may surprise you. But I didn't get an invitation to that. And if you did, I'd like to hear about it. Most people didn't. But in our case, you are invited. In fact, go one more time in Revelation to chapter 22, verse 17. Revelation 22, verse 17. Now, the imagery here is not about a wedding, but it's the same basic idea of come. He says in Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come, and let the one who is thirsty come, let the one who desires take the water of life without price. You can have it. You're not going to be charged an entrance fee. You don't have to be qualified. All you have to do is come and accept the Lord as your husband, so to speak. And you see, that's the great news. And all of us who are Christians have accepted that invitation to come to the wedding feast, and we are blessed. But have we forgotten how blessed we are? And that may lead to the same problem with those five foolish maidens. If we don't remember how blessed we are, we may not be ready. Which brings us to the third point that I think we need to learn from this parable. And that is, not all who have been invited will be ready to enter in. Not all who have been invited will be ready to enter in. Michael Green, in his commentary on this passage, makes this observation. It is possible to have a lamp that looks good, but has no oil in it. I have flashlights and drawers at my house that look like nice flashlights, but they have no batteries in them, so what good are they? They don't do the work they were designed to do. And so there are some of us who have been invited and have even accepted the invitation, and yet we're not going to make it because we've not been watching the gauge, so to speak. I know when I'm driving my car, every now and then I better glance down at my gas gauge, and when it gets to a certain level, I better pull over, take the time to replenish the amount of gas in my car. Otherwise, I'm not going to get there. That's a simple fact that we all understand. Look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 7, Elijah the prophet is on the run. And that's kind of surprising, because just a day or two earlier, he had challenged the prophets of Baal and overcame them by the power of God. And then Jezebel made that threat and said, you're going to die. And it scared Elijah, and he began running. And now he's sleeping, and an angel wakes him up. And listen to what it says in 1 Kings 19 and verse 7. The angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. Now, we're told earlier in that passage that there was food provided for Elijah. Where'd it come from? Well, it came from God. And he ate some of it, and then he went back to sleep. And again, he's awakened, and he's told, you better eat, because this journey is more than you're going to be able to endure without this food. And so he arose, he ate it, and for 40 days, he continued his journey. That must have been some superfood, right? Well, the idea for us is God provides us nourishment that will take us further than we could ever imagine going ourselves. But too often we sleep and we're not partaking of that food. Now, right now, you're in the building or you're watching online, and if your heart is open, you are partaking of this food that God has provided for us, and it will carry you through the coming days. But if you get to the point where you say, well, I really don't need it, I've got other things that are more important in my life, you may be like those five foolish maidens. Or another thing to think about, remember what Jesus said at the end of that parable, Matthew 25, verse 13, he said, watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the time. And that may be a problem. I mean, I may be eating the food that I need, but if I'm not watching, if I'm not attentive to the things going on in my life and my own spiritual energy level, it may be that I won't make it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Listen to what the writer there says. Paul writing says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And what that tells me is I've got to be fully invested in my Christian walk to the point where every day I am praying to God and I'm looking at my own life, I'm looking at the things around me that might challenge me, I am being watchful as I pray. And Jesus says that is needed. Watch, therefore, because you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Lord is coming. And we don't know that. You know, we don't know when our own lives are going to end. I mean, during this pandemic, how many lives have come to an end much sooner than they ever would have imagined? And I feel for those families who have lost loved ones and all of us, all who have gone through it. I know some of you have gone through this virus and thankfully have recovered, but not everybody has. And this is a time for us to wake up and say, I am mortal. I mean, I'm young, I'm strong, I'm speaking for you right now. But you know, what's the problem? But the problem is this doesn't respect ages. I mean, your chances may be greater of not making it if you're older and if you have problems, but there have been a lot of otherwise young and healthy people who have not made it. And Jesus says, you don't know when I'm coming. You don't know when your life is going to end. You need to be watching constantly. Otherwise, you'll be like those foolish maidens. And then think about the words of Hebrews chapter 10. This is just generally talking about our lives as Christians. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 through 38. And now we're talking about the idea of endurance. Hang in there. Don't give up. Don't slow down. Keep up your pace. Listen to what he says. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. What does that mean? It means that we've got to keep on day after day after day after day until we're home. And to stop short anywhere along that path is a foolish, foolish decision. We can be distracted by the challenges of this life and forget about how important our spiritual lives are. I hope that isn't the case. I hope that this parable will remind us there is one goal in life that we must never lose sight of, and that is the kingdom of heaven here on earth and then ultimately in eternity. One more passage, Matthew 24, verse 44. And here Jesus was talking about some bad things that were coming upon Jerusalem, and then he's talking as well about his own coming in another part of this passage. But listen to what he says in Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore you also must be ready. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, if I get up here and tell you Jesus is coming this afternoon, there's no reason for you to believe me, because I have no information that you don't have. Nobody knows when the Lord is coming again. But here's the thing, he might. He might come this afternoon. And if we knew that he was, what would we do right now? Would we say, well, okay, I'm ready. And if that's the case, good. I'm glad to hear it. And keep on until he really does come again. But if you're not ready, that's what this parable's all about. You don't want to see the door closed and you're on the other side, because it will not open again. This is the moment when the door is open. This is when you should make your decision. I'm coming to the Lord. I'm going to get ready. I'm going to stay ready. If you're not a Christian, that means to become a Christian today. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, enough that you'll be willing to turn away from your sins, repenting of them, enough to confess him before others, then this morning we call on you to be baptized. Just what Jesus commanded in Mark 16, 16, what Peter commanded by the power of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2, verse 38, and so many other passages. You need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And the good news is he will forgive, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've done them. And if you're in this building, we want to help you. If you're not in the building, you're watching online, we want to help you get that accomplished. And if you are a Christian and you have been back in sin, you've not been taking seriously what you need to be taking seriously, it's time to repent and ask for forgiveness. And we'd love to pray with you if that's what your need is. If you're not here and you'd like for us to pray with you, send an email to one of the addresses on your screen right now, and we'll pray with you before we are dismissed today. God wants to help you. You are invited to the wedding of the Lamb as his bride. We urge you to make your decision and to come as we stand and sing.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in blood, would your evil victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Be seated, please. Before we share the Lord's Supper together, we will sing, "Let Us Break Bread Together." As we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper, let's imagine we were in the vicinity of the cross and could see what was taking place there. And we saw Christ raised up on the cross. Let's think about why he went to death in the way he did, what was accomplished by his death, our role in that event. Let's consider these things as we enter into prayer. Father, we thank you for this bread that we're about to partake of. We know it represents the body of Christ. He willingly went to the cross on our behalf. His manner of death was considered shameful, for it's written that accursed is he who is hung upon a cross. But he willingly undertook that out of his love for us and out of your love for us, and went to the cross and died in order that we might be forgiven of our sins and be reconciled unto you.
And we are so thankful for this, Lord. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Again, let's pray. Father, as we take this cup, the contents of which represent Christ's blood, we do so knowing that He was a righteous Savior, a perfect being, that He did not waver in the mission He came to accomplish. But He did it for us. We thank You for the great love shown in this sacrifice, what all it means to us, that we had been lost in sin, but with His cleansing blood, we have those sins forgiven, and we can come near to You. And we thank You for this, Lord. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. While I'm here, I also want to lead us in a prayer for the contributions that we make, and ask that you join with us in that. Father, we know that You're a loving God, a giving God, that You lavish gifts upon us more than we can even imagine. And we thank You for all those things, Father. We know that every day is a gift from You, and all that is in that day that is a good thing is because of You, and we give You thanks. And as we make our offerings back into the treasury of the church, we pray, Lord, that those monies will be spent in a way that will do much good, that will further Your kingdom, and that will glorify You. And this is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.